To them which are in Christ Jesus. Praise God for his wonderful redemption. Thank you so much for the blessing of that song and the reminder of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. I trust you know him as your personal Savior. We trust that you've called on him to save you from your sin. You know him now and you are redeemed. And you're a child of God and on your way to heaven. And if not, there's no better time than now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time to come to him. So we trust you will consider your need if you don't know him. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bible with you, to Ezekiel, the Old Testament book, prophet Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel's a little easier to find than Zephaniah that we had to try to find in Sunday school this morning. This is a little bigger. So Ezekiel chapter 22, and I'm going to read a few selected verses. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Ezekiel 22, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge, and thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Ezekiel's to show sinning Judah her abomination. She's about to be, or has been carried into captivity, and Jerusalem is about to be destroyed, and God's reminding his people why this has come about. Verse 3, Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, The city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and thou hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made, and hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto the years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all the countries. And then look at verse 8. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbath. Verse 11. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister and his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood, thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and has forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Then jump over to verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed a stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed, repaid upon their heads, saith the Lord. I sought for a man among them. You're a soldier, so get in the battle. Let's pray. Lord, bless now the time in your word. Speak to our hearts. Glorify your name. Help me as I preach. Use me as you will, Lord. Speak to my heart. Convict me where needed. Help me to be what you want me to be, as well as each one of us here. And if there be even one here that is not sure of their salvation or doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may this be the day they come to you for salvation. Bless now as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy the land. But I found none. God is saying, if I can find one, I would not destroy the land. But I found none. These people were full of idolatry, adultery, abomination from priests to the people, and judgment is coming, and God will destroy the land, and the land of Judah But verse 30, God was looking for one that he not destroy it. You know, God has always looked for men and women who will stand for the truth of God and the righteousness of God and the honor of God. That's what God is always looking for. He's always looking for godly men, holy men of boldness and courage and faith that will make them a light in a dark place, a city set on a hill, a voice of truth among vain and empty voices. He looks for a man, he looks for a woman that will stand for him. It said that those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. And we are living in an age and a culture where people are falling for anything and everything that is contrary to Scripture. Just look at our Congress. You can't believe the things that are being said these days and being done these days. And because we are falling, neglecting, if not rejecting, we are crumbling. We are crumbling, and we are like the backslidden Israelites that God rebuked with these words in Isaiah 5, verse 20-21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, I'm in danger of getting that way myself. And you are too. We become wise in our own eyes. We think we've got it figured out. I know how to live this Christian life. I don't need to do everything that God's Word tells me. And we become wise in our own eyes. The Marine Corps used to say, we're looking for a few good men. They're looking for a few good men. Well, God is looking for one man, just one good man to stand in the gap, the breach, as a part of the defense for the city. But he couldn't find anyone. Then verse 31 says, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads. I've repaid them for their wicked deeds, and it's come upon their own heads. Folks, we are soldiers in a battle that is part of this great war between God and his hosts versus Satan and his demons. And every one of us, if we're Christians, we are in the battle, whether we want to be or not, we are in it. It is a fierce conflict. It's like no other war that has been waged by human beings. And it's been going on ever since Lucifer, the angel of light, fell due to his pride, as we read about in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And he has been Satan, our adversary, our enemy, ever since. He is now the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the wicked one, the dragon, the tempter, the liar, the deceiver, and hater of God and God's people, and the accuser of the brethren. And he goes about seeking whom he may devour. It's over. Except we resist, whom we are to resist steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5:9. And if we resist him, he will flee from us, James 4:7. Satan is like a lion that has been declawed and detoothed. He's a mean, ugly dog that has no teeth, because God took his teeth out. So he has a roar, but his bite is harmless when we resist him, when we stand for God. And we're in a battle, so let's get in the battle to win. And we get our marching orders from God. And we better then be in step with God. And if we're in step with God, guess what? We won't be in step with the world, and that's good. We're to not love the world nor the things that are in the world. But if I'm in step with the world and comfortable with the world and even liking and loving the world and its attitude and its philosophy and lack of morality and behavior, then I'm no good to God. I am no good to God. If I'm good for this world, then forget about God, because I've forgotten about God. And I can't please God. No man can serve two masters. It's one or the other. Which one will you choose? And I can no way effectively please God. Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Any man in a war is not going to get entangled or tangled up, entwined with the affairs of this life. Now we have to do what we have to do. But we don't get entrapped by the stuff of this life, whether it be our career or our money or our hobbies or whatever. We always let God be first in our lives. But like it or not, we are in the Lord's army, right? We're in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Are you in the Lord's army this morning? 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Act like men, God says. Be strong. So I don't feel strong. God says, be strong. I don't care how you feel. Be strong in the strength that God supplies. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your might. When I am weak, then am I strong. I'm weak in my own strength. I'm strong in him. Ephesians 6:10. You know, I don't believe I need to remind you that we live in troublesome times. We're living in an increasingly immoral, decadent, selfish, depraved, self-loving, God-rejecting society. We see false evil everywhere. We see it in the wicked religion of Islam, seeking to destroy the world, destroy Israel and the United States of America and all freedom-loving people. We hear and see reports to this day of massive murders and genocide of Christians by Islamic jihadists. I just read this morning that hundreds of Christians in Nigeria are being killed by Nigeria going to Islam, by the Fulani tribesmen. And as they kill the Christians, or at least who practice the Christian religion, they cry out, Allah Akbar, death to Christian. That's what Islam is doing. Not all of it, I know that, but much of it is. We also see a travesty taking place with the normalization of so-called homosexual marriage. So-called because it is not marriage. It is not marriage. We now as a nation are promoting the sinful practice that God calls an abomination. And God has not changed his mind on that. A very sinful practice that we read about in Genesis 19, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Timothy 1. You know, concerning homosexuality, we used to be disgusted with it. You just didn't talk about it. I remember that when I was growing up. And then we began to look the other way and tried to ignore it. And then we tolerated it. And then we accepted it. And then we embraced it and promoted it. And now we shove it down everybody's throat and we bully and threaten with legal proceedings anyone that doesn't agree. I mean, it's getting to day where if you say, well, I believe marriage is between one man, one woman, they're going to come after you. That's not politically correct. That's not woke, whatever that means. That's not culturally correct, right? What travesty is taking place in America? What an outrage, and we ought to be concerned. We look and see the abortion industry, where we kill, we murder, and mutilate precious lives of thousands upon thousands and hundreds of thousands of unborn human beings, children. Over 1 million a year is what we slaughter, the estimate is. 3,000 a day, somewhere in there. We worry, we fret for our future and the future of our children because we're Christians and we have reason to worry. We should worry. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold that. You didn't say that, did you? No, I didn't say that. I'm just trying to get it. Who said that? I did. No, we don't have reason to worry. Let's try that again. In spite of all the exploding rebellion and wickedness and evil going on around us, we don't worry and fear and fret for our future and the future of our children, because the future is in God's hand. And God is in charge of this universe. He has always been and always will be. He's in charge of things, and we simply are his soldiers serving in his army. That's our job in this short life. I was just reading last night, or this morning, in Psalm 112, verse 7, "The righteous shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." The righteous need not be afraid of the evil tidings, the evil things going on, because we're trusting in the Lord. Our heart is fixed. Is your heart fixed this morning? Let's get in the battle for truth and righteousness. That's our job. And for the honor and glory of God. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what's going on in Congress and the Senate or the White House or the Supreme Court or anything. What matters is what's going on at the throne of God before whom we worship, the God of the throne. Let's try to snatch the lost who are in Satan's grip and bring them to Christ. You know, you and I are not going to change the world. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to bring in a Christian utopia. I don't believe in that. We will not reform it and make it better, but we can make people better. I can have an influence on one if I reach them with the gospel. We can make their world better by getting them to Christ. We can live a life of peace and joy and happiness, because God's promised that for every believer. You say, but the world is going to pot. Sure is, but I'm going to heaven. Let the world go to pot. I'm not saying we don't do what we can, but I'm going to heaven. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the spirits are made subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to heaven, and I have the privilege of serving God while on earth. And the world is going to hell. Yes, it is, but it's always been headed for hell. This is nothing new. The world has always been wicked ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. We've just had it pretty good in the United States of America for a long time. I remember we were concerned about the direction of the country back in the 1960s and 1970s when we were in the thick of the Vietnam War. The hippie movement, sexual revolution, all that, which I was a part of the hippie. I was a wannabe hippie anyway, and I was as lost can be, and headed for hell till God saved me by his grace in 1974. But, we're in Vietnam War. That was bad. Over 58,000. 58,000 of our men died in that war. That was bad. Over 400,000 USA troops were killed in World War II. An estimated 58 million people total died in World War II. Stalin, Joseph Stalin, Soviet Union, it's estimated he killed 20 million. Mao Zedong in China killed tens of millions. They don't know whether it was 20 or 50 or 70 million or 100 million back in the 50s and 60s. It's bad. I'm just saying it's bad, and it's always been bad and always will be bad. Men and women have always had fears and always will have that which can steal our peace and joy and victory if we allow it. People have always said, I feel sorry for the younger generation to have to grow up in this world. They were saying it when I was a kid. And now we're still saying it, right? Well, if they know God, they need not fear. We need not fear, do we? Through it all, God has always had his soldiers who walk with God and serve God, and through the power of God brought victories in the midst of wicked and troublesome times. And I've always been able to claim Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So all this is working together for our good if we love God and are called by him. The troubles and trials and hardships we face are God's workshop, God's opportunity to display his power and grace. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12. Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Help us, O Lord. Asa cried back in 2 Chronicles 14, 11. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20, 12, when the enemy came against him, Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And God said to him in 2 Chronicles 20, 15, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's still true today. The battle isn't yours and mine, it's God's. So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we can do that. When I think of soldiers of the Lord, I think of Joshua and David and Gideon, among many others. They did battle for God and were victorious. God is still looking for soldiers who will stand for him and go in his might against the forces of evil. He's looking for men and women, boys and girls, who will stand for what's right, stand for the truth, stand for the Bible, stand for God no matter the cost. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Let's get in the battle, let's be faithful to the Lord for his great cause. You're a soldier. You're a soldier. Get in the battle. Well, how do I do it? How do I do it? Well, number one, heed the soldier's call. Heed the soldier's call. Listen to the soldier's call. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, if you would. If we're going to be a soldier, we need to listen. We need to heed the soldier's call. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen or enlisted him to be a soldier. He's chosen him, enlisted him. The word enlist means to gather an army, enlist soldiers. When God saved you, he enlisted you. He enrolled you as part of his troops to go forth with Christ as your captain, doing battle for him. A call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers in the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, soldier true. Others have enlisted. Why not you? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. That's just back a few pages in 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. Fight the good fight of faith, whereunto thou art also called. We flee the lust and sin that pursues us, and we fight the fight of faith. We've got to flee and run from sin, but how are we going to get victory if we run to sin? Too many Christians are running to sin, or embracing sin, or tolerating sin, thinking, it won't trip me up. It will. Mark it down. It will. You're on your own, fighting in your own strength, and it's over before it's begun, because you're no match for temptation and the devil in your own strength, for the flesh is weak. So heed the soldier's call. Secondly, we fight by enduring the soldier's trial. 2 Timothy 2, 3 again. We endure the soldier's trial. We endure hardness. God gives that to you and me. That's part of our salvation. I'm to endure hardness. I'm to be willing and able to suffer hardship, as one translation puts it. Suffer hardship as a soldier. There will be hardships and hardness along the way. But God says, endure it. suffer it, bear up under it by God's grace and strength. And Christ told us that we would suffer persecution. He never said it would be easy. When he saved Paul, he was going to tell Paul how much he will suffer for my sake. Welcome to the Christian life, Paul. And he's told us to expect trials and sufferings, for even Christ suffered in the flesh for us. We can complain about it, and we do. We can worry about it and fuss about it, and we do. We can fear it, and sometimes we do. But we might as well learn to endure it, suffer it, bear up patiently through it all, persevere, face it. So heed the soldier's call. Secondly, endure the soldier's trial. Thirdly, follow the soldier's example. For example, Joshua is a good example. In Joshua 1, verse 6, God said to Joshua, as he's about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to lead all these complaining, whimpering, worrying, fussing, idolatrous people into the land of promise. And God says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 9. Again, verse 18. Be strong and of a good courage. Four times in chapter 1, he tells Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. Joshua chapter 6, where Joshua fought the great battle of Jericho, which wasn't much of a battle after all, for the Lord miraculously gave them the city. They encircled the great city of Jericho once a day for 6 days with seven priests blowing seven ram's horn. And on the seventh day, they circled the city seven times, and they blew the ram's horns, and they shouted with a great shout. The walls fell flat, and they took the city. That's how easy it is with God. That's how we get the victory. We obey God, obey his word, walk with him by faith. As Joshua did, so you and I can. And God gave Joshua and all the people, all the cities that they would take throughout the south and the north of Canaan, and all the promised land. You have an example of Gideon, Judges 6, where God came to Gideon and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon's going, who, me? You got the wrong man. And then he told Gideon, go in this thy might, for you're going to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And how did he do it? Well, Gideon had an army of 32,000 men to go up against 135,000 of the Midianites. 32,000 Israelites going against 135,000 Midianites. And God said, Gideon, that's too many. And he whittled them down to about 22,000. And then God said, that's too many, Gideon. He whittled Gideon's army down to 300. 300 going against 135,000. The odds of that are 1 to 450. For every one Israelite, there are 450 Midianites. And God gave the victory, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. God can do that. God used David with a sling and a stone and took Goliath, the great shepherd boy, in 1 Samuel 17, and where David came to Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, in 1745. For the battle is the Lord's. And anyway, there's so many examples. The words of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 6. For there be more with us than with him. With us is the Lord our God to help us. There's always more with you. You and God always make a majority in every situation, right? What courage and faith and determination to press and fight the fight of faith, no matter the cost. So we heed the soldier's call, endure the soldier's trial, follow the soldier's example, and then number four, display a soldier's courage. Courage, comrades, right? Be courageous. Be bold. Be full of faith. There's not room for pansies and patsies and namby-pambies and cowards in God's army. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So why are we worrying and fearing all the time? Oh, I'm just that way. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah. You want me to share with you some of the things I worried about in the last couple days? How much time do you have? I can't even count. All kinds of things. Stupid things. Stupid things. And I need not worry. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather a holy boldness for the truth and a willingness to take a bold stand against sin. We read that the early church, the disciples, the church went out, and in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4:29, now Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. In Acts 4:31, they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 13:46, Paul and Barnabas wax bold. And on we can go. There's so many, but I don't have time to share them all. These apostles were bold to speak the gospel, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to call on men to repent of their sin and turn to Christ. And that's the need of our nation. That's the need of our friends, our families, of us, is to be bold and call on God. The need of our nation is not reformation, not go back to the good old days. And we're not going back to those good old days, by the way. And they weren't as good as we think they were, by the way. I think my grandparents used to talk about the good old days. And their grandparents used to talk about the good old days. Well, how far you want to go back, you know, to George Washington or John Bradford? And anyway, we're not going back to those days. So, the display of a soldier's courage. Number 5, put on the soldier's armor. In Ephesians 6, we read, put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. Put on the armor. Put on the whole armor. Your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, praying always. Again, Ephesians 6. God said in Zechariah 4, verse 6, then answered he and spake, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by his spirit we go serving the Lord, by his spirit. Charles Wesley wrote, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. We need the armor of God, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus' trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength and noon, and all the rest of that wonderful hymn. And then number 6, bowing before the soldier's captain. Bowing before the soldier's captain. We need to be bowing before him. When Joshua was leading the people into the land of promise, we read in Joshua 5:13, that when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and a man stood over him, and he was a captain of the Lord of hosts, that he was now come, and Joshua fell on his face and worshiped him because he realized it was the Lord. Probably a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Again, in Joshua 5:13-15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. He was on holy ground. And by the way, everywhere we go is holy ground. All ground is holy for the Christian. All ground is holy. And then number 7, finally, receiving a soldier's reward. Receiving a soldier's reward. 2 Timothy 4, if you'd like to turn there, we'll turn this one more passage. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. After all that, after we can receive a soldier's reward. Verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I fought a good fight. That's what Paul. Will we be able to say that? Will you be able to say that when the end comes? And the end will come for every one of us, by the way. All the sufferings and battles and heartaches of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a minute, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hang in there. Endure. Keep battling. Romans 8:18, Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us, in us or to us. So keep on the battle line. Keep on the firing line. Fight the fight, but also take time to rest and refresh in the Lord. You don't have to do everything, by the way, for everybody, nor be everything to everybody, but you can be sometime something to somebody and make a difference in that somebody's life. Just be yourself in the Lord as you read the Word. Are you reading the Word and heeding the Word? And do you take time every day to read a chapter, a couple chapters, one, two, maybe three, maybe five chapters in the Bible? You take time to watch TV. You take time to eat dinner. We can take time in the Word, can't we? We've got to have that. Time to pray. Time to read. Time to share the Lord. We just keep moving forward for Him. Soldiers of Christ, arise, right? Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. From strength to strength, go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down, and win the well-fought day. Indeed, soldiers of Christ, arise. Your soldier, get in the battle. I trust you are a soldier. Now's the day to become a soldier by giving your life to Jesus Christ. He died for you that you might live for Him. When you give your life to Him, now's a great time to do that. Let's look to Him now as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the many, many admonitions to be strong, to be trusting, to be enduring for you, Lord. You never promised an easy road, but you promised to be with us every second of every step on this journey. May we latch on to you, Lord, as you have gripped us and you will not let us go. How can we not give our all to you who loved us and gave yourself for us? Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for saving us by your grace. And I pray for that one who may not know of that grace. Maybe there's not been a time in their life when they trust in you for salvation. May they do that even this morning, Lord. Give their life to you. Help us, Lord, to be the soldiers, to be the workmen, just to be the disciples and followers of Christ that you want us to be. Bless now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.